Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. ADHD and mental clutter, organizing your mind. And with us in our virtual studio is Leslie Josell. She's an academic life coach who runs a business out of Order Chaos, and we're going to get into the meat of the show and have a great time tonight. But before we do, real quick, tonight is Wednesday, April the 12th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some real quick announcements. The ADHD Coaches Organization is putting on the ADHD Professionals Conference this April 27th through the 30th. It's in Reston, Virginia. You can get more information by going to ADHDprofessionalsconference.com. This is not just a coaches conference. If you are academic, if you're a mental health professional, if you're a parent, a student, I encourage you to go check this out. If you go, track me down. Me and Caroline McGuire, my sidekick, will be kind of running around. I think Kirsten Milliken, actually, who co-hosts the show sometimes, she's actually out of the country presenting Kuwait that week. But anyway, come see us. We'd love to talk to you. Also, the CHAD conference is CHAD, by the way, is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. Their conference is in November the 9th through the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. You need to start checking that out and planning ahead. To learn more about that, go to chadd.org. And while we're on the topic of CHAD, we are blessed, honored, and grateful that they are a supporter of our show. And tonight's show is actually being brought to you by them. So they have a quick tip that we want to run for you. So let's do that, and we'll move on to the show. Here we go.
Think twice before you reach for that over-the-counter allergy medication. It may interact with your ADHD medication. Talk with your doctor before starting any new medication, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription. For more information about ADHD, visit helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for that neat little tip. It's kind of cool. I've learned over the years that allergies can really kind of impact those with ADHD in a way that there's not a lot of education on. So it's cool that Chad's putting that stuff together. And if you're not a CHAD member, I encourage you to go join CHAD, even if you don't need the member benefits. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD internationally. And for that, it's worth the price of admission. So go check that out. Okay, let's get into tonight's show. Leslie Josell is the principal of Out of Order Chaos, an organizing consulting firm specializing in student organizing and chronic disorders. She's a graduate of the Judy Sleeper Triplet, JST for short, coach training program for students with ADHD. We're a big fan of Judy. Jody, she's been on the show several times. Leslie's the creator of an award-winning academic planner, a tool for time management that helps students with time management skills. She's the author of What's the Deal with Teens and Time Management, a parenting guide to teach teens the time management skills they need for school and life. Also, before we get on the show, we were kind of talking about that. She was an expert on chronic disorganization and hoarding issues and appeared on many episodes of the Learning Channel's hit television show Hoarding, Buried Alive, and the Cooking Channel's television special Stuffed Food Hoarders. You can learn more about Leslie by going to her website. The address is order, O-R-D-E-R-O-O, chaos, C-H-A-O-S .com. With that, Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I love being on the show.
We love having you on this show. Aww. And you know, this is really kind of cool. We have Attention Talk Radio, we have Attention Talk Video, and we have Attention Talk News. And quarterly, we feature articles in Attention Talk News by guest individuals. And my people stumbled across a blog that Leslie did, and we've had Leslie on the show before, so we know her. And it was talking about mental clutter. And I read, I'm like, oh my God, we got to print this in Attention Talk News, and I got to have you on the show. And it's fascinating because
I was so honored,
know-
by the way. I was like, wow, they found my art. Like, I have to tell you, I was kind of like, I was really honored by that. That was crazy. So
well,
I'm
was,
really,
was-
like, I write it for my, you know, my community, but I was so happy that someone like you, like, it touched you and you, well, I knew you'd get it. But, like, that meant a lot to me because, like, you're the rock star. So I'm like, wow, if he likes it, then that's, that, you know, that's another level of yay for me.
Well, we get it because you get it. And it's fascinating because you wrote about mental clutter. And if you don't mind, can you just tell us about the article a little bit? And we'll just kind of get into stuff, just
sure.
in details.
So I'm, you know, I wear many hats in my business. So I'm a professional organizer. I work also, you know, we here at Order Out of Chaos also work with those at Hoard. But I work, you know, with students and all of that. But to know me personally is to know that, you know, physical clutter is not my thing. I'm not, you know, type A to the point where my house is perfect, but I'm a get rid of her. Physical clutter is not an issue for me. So what I wrote in this blog, because, you know, I have a lot of people in my community who talk about this, was what I find to be mental clutter right now. I'm personally having a really hard time paying attention. There's that word. And I know other people are feeling the same, but even having simple conversations, phone calls, meetings, it's just taking me so much effort to pay attention. And when I really think about it, what I realized for me and for most is that it's not only about your physical, well, there is definitely a connection between mental clutter and physical clutter, but that for me, I had a lot of physical clutter going on. I had blockage, both personal and professional. I had things that were robbing my time that take up mental space. I had major emotional demands that I needed to kind of work through. And I'm going to say it, even I have digital dependency. So
mm-hmm.
I really had to work hard to figure out how I was going to declutter my mental space. And in some ways, for me anyway, I think it's harder than physical. And then if you take it one level up or one level further, the connection between your mental clutter and your physical clutter is like, you know, super glue. You know, in
yep.
my world, we say it's not about the stuff. It's the stuff behind the stuff, which is all what's going on in your head. So there were just so many layers to this article, and I write a lot, but this one in particular really, really touched a nerve because, you know, I think people are struggling with mental clutter these days with everything coming at them. So it's like that internal and external distraction, almost having an argument with themselves. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah, well, you just said something like, wow, this is brilliant. The stuff behind the stuff, because what struck me in that article is when people start talking about organization and clutter, it's all external. And
mm-hmm.
you're talking from the internal. You're talking about the relationship between mental and physical. It's like super glue. It's the stuff behind the stuff. And it's funny because when I've heard people talk about organization, it's all this external stuff. And so much more, it's about the internal. And
so much more.
That stuff behind that stuff is that stuff that's in your head. And I'm not so sure everybody really thinks about organizing that mental clutter. And it's kind of fascinating because we were getting ready for the show. You and I touched base a little bit, and you were kind of telling some stories a little bit about how you manage it personally. Like when you're, I think, talking or whatever, or reading, you have some strategies
yeah.
that you do to do that. Can you just share that with us a little bit?
Sure. So, and again, I want to make two distinctions here, though, because for those that have real struggles with their physical clutter, the connection to mental is insanely powerful. But for someone, and I'm going to say it, for someone like me who doesn't struggle with my physical clutter, because I don't. I mean, I think you probably can agree with that someone like
uh-huh.
me is not, you know, I'm pretty good about organizing spaces and getting rid
yep.
of things and that type of thing. My mental clutter really is very, very powerful to the point where, and I was explaining this to you, for me these days to fully, fully pay attention, and I didn't even realize I was doing it, but when I listen on a phone call or even I have to, like, look down, I literally put my hands on either side of my face almost as, like, what blinders would be like, and
mm-hmm.
I actually close my eyes. And by doing all those three things, so head down, closing eyes, and putting a blinder on, it really helps me to filter out all of the distractions, whether they're external distractions like noise, commotion, whatever, even light, to
mm-hmm.
internal distraction. And I'm doing it all right. I'm doing it right now. I'm literally doing it right now because I want to be present, and it helps me filter it all out. So it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just interesting to me that that's what I need, and I see it in my clients. I see it even with my students, like how they block out, you know, conscious or unconscious, what they have to mm-hmm. do to be able to progress and get rid of the mental clutter.
It's interesting because I did an Intention Talk video. We did a radio show a long time ago with Steve Gundy, who talked about when he goes to church in order to focus, he journals. He literally has a notebook. He's writing notes as the guy is speaking because it kind of helps him focus. And I did a kind of a version on that Attention Talk video, and a person posted a comment, and they basically, when they go to church, literally they shut their eyes and do some stuff so that they can focus on what's being said so they can block out the physical distractions that create mental clutter for them that inhibit their ability to kind of pay attention. And I got this visual of you kind of hunched down with the stuff over your head so you can kind of really kind of focus on what's going on, which speaks to blocking out the stuff behind the stuff so that you can actually block out all that mental clutter and focus on our conversation.
So you should feel, and I don't mean this, but there's not many things I do that for. So here's another interesting thing too that I do. So I speak a lot, meaning I travel, you know, all over, and I do a lot of presentations and a lot of speaking engagements. And 2 days ago, I was actually speaking at the conference for the Pennsylvania Department of Education, and I was their mm-hmm. keynote, and it was a really, really, like, major, major deal. And for me, I actually took the train, and I'm sitting on an Amtrak train, and I physically took my telephone, my cell phone. And now remember, I wasn't speaking yet. I was just on the train going through my notes, making sure everything was how I wanted it to be. And I actually, now I could have just taken my phone and put it in my bag, but I actually turned my phone off, like, so that there wouldn't even be that impulsivity, interesting word there, to go and say, oh, wait, did I get an email I need to read as I was preparing? Oh, was there a text message I just heard? Or, oh, should I make that? Because there's the distraction of, as I'm preparing, do I need to make that phone call? But for me, turning off that phone all of a sudden lifted all that mental blockage, and I was able to give what I was working on 100% of my time. So
that's I can't help but say this because I got an email from my brother this morning. I think it was on last Sunday. 60 Minutes had done a special with Anderson Cooper talking about social media and how when you put that stuff there, if you don't look at it periodically, the anxiety of getting a reward, whether it's a like or something like that, increases the level of cortisol and anxiety that sends you to do that. And it creates a lot of mental clutter. And he was saying in the interview, as I watched, he's like, even right now, I haven't looked at it for 10 minutes and I'm feeling the mental clutter that I've got to go check that. And what's fascinating, Leslie, is as you turn that off, you're basically willfully saying, I'm turning off that mental clutter so I don't have to worry about it, so I can focus on kind of what's going on, which, as you describe, it's obvious as obvious can be, but I don't think people actually think about that, which is why we're having the show.
Right. No.
You're managing.
I don't think they do at all. And I actually, you know, I work with students these days more than I work with any other population. So you can imagine that struggle of the distraction. And I'm gonna actually tell you one thing that you might find very interesting. So I'm always on the hunt for, and I'm not going to push any products, so don't mm-hmm. worry. But my point is I'm always on the lookout for products that obviously help to support and scaffold my students.
Yep.
And so, you know, we're all about the tech age, and all these apps are supposed to make our lives easy and more streamlined and all that. But yet I have many, many college students who now come to me and say, I find the app, having to go to my phone to open up an app to do something, it's so distracting because I get caught now in the world of my phone. I now go down the rabbit hole. I'm pulling up my phone maybe to write down something I want to remember, and I see Snapchat and Instagram and all of those things, and I've forgotten now that what I have to write, that I'm actually going back to putting sticky notes, these are kids talking to me, on the back of my phone so I can eliminate that type of distraction. So I always feel like we've come full circle, you know. It's an interesting, when I talk about that in my work, I talk about that with my students, And I'm now hearing more and more of that, how the phone, all the things on our phone that's supposed to help us are actually adding to the distraction and the mental clutter.
Oh, my God. I just love what you said. And I want you to hold that thought, because you're going to your phone for distraction, and we're going to come back. And by the way, let me back up. She said, we're going to our phone distraction. We forgot what we're going to write. So hold that thought. We're going to go to a break. If you're listening to this show and you're checking, you got to go look, check out Leslie's website. It's Order, OrderOOChaos. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We got one of my favorites, Leslie Josell, coming on. We're talking about mental clutter. She's sharing her personal experiences, which are really kind of off the chart. We've got a great discussion here. I want to pick up before the break. We started just talking about clutter, physical clutter, mental clutter. There's a relationship to the two. I loved how Leslie was kind of talking about she has physical clutter under control, but she's kind of overwhelmed sometimes by clutter. Mental clutter, if you will, and she started talking about some of the strategies that she's had. And Leslie's great. I think she kind of grew up along the professional organizing ranks and kind of got into coaching with ADHD. So she's very insightful. And at the end of the show, if you hang around, we'll talk to her a little bit about her experience on the Learning Channel show, Hoarding, Bury Alive, because she was on site on some of those. I think it'd be kind of fun. So before the break, Leslie, we were talking about students talking about when they go to their phones to do something, the apps distract them. And
isn't that interesting, though? I just find that so, you know, I always say I'm like an atypical coach, because I like to really know, like, you know, I peel back layers, like what's getting in the way? That's always my question every day, all the time. Tell me what's getting in the way. And if they can't tell me, we kind of play I spy to figure it out. So like, what's the trigger for you? And the interesting thing I'm hearing, and I said this, is that these things that we've put in place, now I'm not saying obviously they help some or a lot, but for some they don't. So those that we, you know, it's interesting, we've put these apps in place to help us be more efficient, to help us maybe even less distracted, to help us remember to remember. I love that. That's so Ari Tuchman. I love that phrase. I use it all the time, but I want to give Ari the credit. But what happens is they go to the right and they end up veering left, because that, you know, especially a student, when they see, you know, that bright, you know, Snapchat and Instagram is bright and shiny. And so all of a sudden they've gone now down the rabbit hole for an hour, and they've totally forgotten that they were supposed to be putting in that they need to email the professor about something.
Absolutely. So are you game for an attention exercise?
Always.
So everybody, what I want to do is, I'm an attention expert. I focus on those with ADHD, and sometimes it's easier to understand what's going on if you can actually witness the process of attention. So, Leslie, I want to do an attention exercise with you. And in a second, I'm going to tell you five words. I'm going to speak them kind of slowly, and I'm going to ask you if you feel the urge to repeat the word. Please don't, and don't write them down.
I'm not.
you're welcome to close your eyes and put your hands over your face, whatever you want to do. That's okay. But after I say them, I'm going to wait for a period of time. When you're ready, I want you to repeat them back to me in alphabetical order. Come on. This will be fun. You ready?
Okay, I'm up for anything. You know that.
All right. Teacher, bumblebee, zebra, kangaroo, heart.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, so I know bumblebee was first for the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know zebra. Funny, I can bookend it. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I know bumblebee, zebra. Okay, bumblebee, part, teacher, zebra, and I don't remember the fifth one.
Kangaroo.
Totally forgot it.
So here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you got it right or wrong. I really don't necessarily care. But what I want you to do is I just put you in an exercise. And if you think about it, I gave you those five words, and you had to hold them in your mind.
It was so difficult,
then you had,
by the way.
I'm getting to that. Then you had to look at each one of them kind of individually and form a second list without forgetting the first list. Now, what's key is, Leslie, you didn't learn anything new. You know what a bumblebee is. You could picture it. You know what a zebra is. You know what a kangaroo is. And you know what the alphabetical order is. But you had to hold them and order them. That is what working memory is. It's juggling things in your mind. And the reason I'm doing this is I do this a lot with those with ADHD because their working memory is taxed. And even you were like, wait a second, I can't remember. And you forgot zebra. So
no.
my point really is that's working memory. But if we begin to say, hey, listen, all those things in your mind is mental clutter. And it's just like the student that has these things in their mind and they go to their phone and their intention is I'm holding a thought, which is not a word, by the way, it's more complicated, that I want to record. And then I'm presented with a notification of something exciting, like a like or a tweet or something. Now I have ADHD, I have a self-regulation problem. That's a dopamine hit. Like, oh my God, I got a like. And so all of a sudden you have this thing that you're trying to hold, which is in your mind, maybe with a couple other things, it's stuff. And all of a sudden you are hit with all these other things and what you're going to write, like kangaroo, gets squeezed out of your mind and you can't remember it because of all these other things that become mental clutter and you have a self-regulation problem. You go to the social media and you completely forgot what you're going to write about.
Exactly. But I have to, and I want to take it one step further if I can, because what you just described is executive control. 100%. It's being able to ignore all those irrelevant thoughts and even your impulses and anything external so that you could hold on to the information you need to. But here's what I find what you did with me so interesting, and I'm hoping your listeners will too. So we teach, you know, all the time to those that have attention deficits, executive dysfunction, you know, scaffold. Find your, you know, visual support, you know, do it at, you know, your point of where you need it. So I didn't even get that far. So that's what I find I wasn't asked to write down, but what my students are saying to me is, Leslie, you're asking me to remember something, and I'm going somewhere to actually scaffold for myself or support myself to remember something, and I can't even get there because I'm deviating to the left. So, you know what I'm saying? So I find that so fascinating, and that's what I'm finding I'm working on with my students, more than like, oh, like let's break down assignments and do future awareness and plan. You know, they've got that down. Do you know what I'm saying? They've to some degree figured that out. It's this, okay, I need to support, how am I going to remember things? Because my working memory is weak or compromised, and I'm going to the place where I'm going to do that, and I can't even get there anymore.
So the epicenter of what – no, it is. So I'm just going to – we're going to camp out here for a second because the blog that you wrote that attracted me is all about mental clutter. And I went to working memory is you have these thoughts in mind. And in the digital age, stuff is coming at you left and right. But you have, when you hit your phone, oh, I got to check this, I got to check that. And at some point in time, you can only hold so many thoughts, and it gets bumped out. So what I loved about the working memory exercise is you forgot about kangaroo. There were so many things in your mind, you hadn't organized it. It was just clutter. And what you're, when you're working with your students, we know what to do, but we're having a hard time managing the mental clutter.
Exactly.
And what I really liked about what you is, when I'm on the phone, what I do is I shut my eyes and close that stuff so I can block out stuff so it doesn't enter my mind, so I can minimize the mental clutter so I can focus on what's going on.
Yeah, that's, and you know what else I actually do sometimes too, which is part of it, is I shut the lights.
Wow.
Well, I lower the lights. I probably should. I don't sit in the dark because that's just creepy and weird. But I lower them because I do find that if you really think about it, think what happens when you lower lights. The thing, your external stimuli goes away.
We've done some shows before on white noise, white experiences and white lights. And when some people, if you turn off the lights and you just have a reading light, it's like a cocoon. All of a sudden you're minimalizing those mental distractions because you're not seeing that stuff and you're able to kind of focus on kind of what's going on. But
I know this is a little off, but I was once asked to go watch, to go observe a child in class. And I watched the child, but I was fascinated by what the teacher was doing. She had the lights pretty much off in the class. There was enough light, natural light coming in because it was during the day. And she was holding a flashlight because she had a lot of information on her smart boards. And what she did in the class is she would point the flashlight to where she wanted the students' attention. And not only did I watch the student that I was there to watch, whose attention to me was off the charts, interestingly enough, but everyone else was too. And I really did believe it was because she had minimized all the external stimuli and had everyone focused right where she wanted them with one spotlight. And so now I actually have figured out a little bit of ways to bring that into my work with my students, to what we call either flashlighting or spotlighting.
Yep.
It works. The lighting thing really does work because there's something about it that brings everybody to center. Not everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I just had to share that story too.
No, I appreciate it. Everybody, we're going to go to break real quick and come back and delve in. We hope you're finding this interesting because the whole topic is all about mental clutter and managing it, which is something I don't think people talk about a lot, which we love to do here at Attention Talk Radio. So everybody, if you haven't done it already, you need to go to OOChaos.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're having Leslie Josell, the rock star of mental clutter. We're having a great conversation and trying to illuminate to you. We're trying to pay attention to mental clutter, and we hope that we are describing it and putting you into some mental experiences so you can witness and realize that there's a relationship between your mental clutter and physical clutter. And most time people are addressing the physical clutter, and a lot of times that doesn't help because you got to deal with the mental clutter. And so, Leslie, I wanted to kind of share with you kind of my own personal experience when it comes to mental clutter. I remember years ago I got out of college. It was interesting because I had mail at work. I had mail at home. I had voicemail at work. And I had voicemail at work. And I had fax. There was five inputs. Mm-hmm. And I had like the mail. Okay. I already said that. So it was five inputs. Now I've got like three or four emails. And I have a system to manage email because it's really kind of complicated. I'm not going to go into it. But if you send me an email, there's a 99.9% chance I'm going to respond and act to it because I have a system that I've used for 30 years. But when I go to direct messaging on Facebook and I go to texts and I go to all these other social medias, my system, I can't change those things to match it. So I have to deal with a different system. And when I'm trying to respond to that, it taxes my working memory and I start to have a hard time because I have all this mental clutter. Because on text, if you send it to me and I read it, I no longer have that reminder. So I have to deal with that then when I read a text, even though I might not be ready for it, which might be copying it, pasting it, and sending an email to put it into my system. And my point really here is I used to have some very simple habitual systems on a very few inputs. Now it's coming to me all over the place, and each one I have to deal differently. And when I have to remember the system that I need to apply for that particular input, that begins to create mental clutter for me. It begins to tax my working memory, and then I begin to forget things like kangaroo or what I intend to do because I'm taxed trying to remember my system in that situation. What are your thoughts on that?
We are separated at birth. Seriously, because I am like, well, I'm probably a little older than you because when I first got out of school and started working, there were no cell phones. There were no, you know what I'm saying? There was none of that. So there was only one way to get information. I'm a busy lady. I run a big business. I have two children. I have a lot going on. And I am like you. I have a very, very specific way I deal with my emails. But if you text me something to do, it will not happen. It will not. Because I don't relate to text messages the way I relate to my emails because I look at emails almost like I can hold them in my work. It's interesting. I can't hold my text messages in my working memory, but I can my emails because for some reason or another, my emails to me are almost like my scaffolding.
Yep.
So, and forget Facebook messaging. And I will actually write back to someone and say, if this is something you need me to do or for you, can you please send it to me in an email? I actually say that, Jeff, because it doesn't work for me. But one thing that I have figured out, and again, it's a principle that I am working a lot more with, and I keep going back to my students because I try to like really put myself in their place, is the amount of stuff that comes at us, whether it's emails or texts or whatever, paper, I'm barraged with paper as well, overwhelms me. And I'm, you know, my executive functions are pretty good, if you know what I mean. They run at high optimum. So I've started actually working time over task. And I've been working a lot with my students to teach them that. And I find that the anxiety level, because again, that's the mental blockage, too much, working memory isn't working, what am I not remembering, now I'm anxious. And now everything is not going to work because once that mental blockage comes in, all your systems are going to be weakened.
Yep.
So if I set time to either do my text or my Facebook or whatever it is, I'm much calmer, I'm much more productive, and therefore everything comes back up again and I'm able to be productive. And my students find that when they go sit down to do academics, working by time versus task actually helps them to be more productive as well.
So everybody that's listening here, remember this Attention Talk Radio is all about we like to pay attention to what you're paying attention to, and attention is actually invisible. And so often people look at the physical world, which is physical clutter. Mm-hmm. We're talking about mental clutter, and we're trying to give you examples and stuff so you can begin to see what's going on in your mind and begin to manage it. Whether you're Leslie and you put your hand down and close your eyes, or you turn off your phone, or or you say, hey, listen, send it to me. These are types of things that you do in order to begin to manage the mental clutter, which actually has an impact on the physical clutter. And I'm going to share this because how you manage your mental clutter is going to be different from everybody. But going back to that working memory thing a little bit as a way to show mental clutter is what's interesting to me, Leslie. It's just like the five words that I described to you. If you're on a computer and you're having to toggle screens and scroll up and down, when you read something on one page, you have to think. You have to hold what you're reading in your memory, toggle over to the other screen or the other app, think about what you have to do to scroll down. And by the way, if it's a new device, it's even more taxing. Scroll down, find what you're doing, and remember what you had. And my point really is that in the old days, we used to print it all out, and you just would look. It was all on a piece on a table, and you look from left to right. There's no mental clutter in that. But now there's all this other stuff, like I've got this, but I've got to navigate to this other place to find this thing, and all that navigational thought becomes mental clutter that creates a problem. And you go after a while, which is, I mean, everybody, I think Leslie and I were actually kind of talking. We're getting ready for the show. You know, paper's a damn good system sometimes.
Oh, I use it. Am I allowed to share that I actually print a lot of my emails out because I find that less taxing and easier for me to be productive than it is for me to read things on a screen and do exactly what you just said?
I'm a tree killer. And by the way, everybody,
I
have
God,
a real problem.
Oh, my God, we were separated at birth.
I have a real problem with every ADHD organization, every learning disability organization. They have these conferences and preach we're going green. Like, you're supposed to advocate on behalf of me, and now you're bullying me to do it the hard way? I mean, come on, guys.
You.
You're supposed to advocate for me, and you're – oh, God.
It doesn't work for me.
So – again, I go back to everybody, mental clutter is bigger than you think. We're hoping that you're opening your mind to this a little bit and you begin to think about these types of things. Send Leslie or myself an email. Leslie, if they go to your website, they can hit a contact you button if they've got some questions and want to contact you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Our email is everywhere. It's info@orderoochaos.com. That goes to, you know, all of us here. But if they want me directly, they can just do leslie@orderoochaos.com. And it'll come right to me. But I'm hoping your listeners will also maybe take advantage or maybe think about the time over task. But I want to add one more thing to that because it goes to what we're saying about clutter. So if I choose to only work on the paper pile, if I only choose to work on my emails, I actually shut down or remove whatever else I'm not doing. So again, I'm shutting off. I'm actually removing physical clutter so that my mental clutter is lessened too. So if I'm saying I'm going to set a timer for an hour and I'm just going to get through my emails, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to do anything else. I teach this concept obviously to those I work with. I take everything off my desk. So if there's piles and other stuff, I remove it because if I don't see, and I don't have ADHD and I don't, but for me still, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Yep.
Helps to make the space smaller.
Yep.
And that's a really great, I always use that as a visual. Like, think if you can make that space in your head smaller. How can we do that? Sometimes it works like both ways. We can make the space in our head smaller by removing things physically and vice versa. If we remove things physically, we can do that to our mental space as well.
Wow. Exceptionally well put.
You like that?
I do. I like it. I like it. I Leslie, I got to find another topic. I love having you on the show. So I wanted to save a little bit of time at the end, and I didn't. This wasn't necessarily planned, but we were talking before this, and we were talking. Actually, we got cut off by the intro when you were doing the Learning Channel Hoarding Buried Alive. We were talking about how you had to go on location, and you were like having a blast. You didn't even know that you were being recorded for TV. Can you just tell us about that experience? I think it's fascinating.
Sure. So, you know, people ask you all the time about those shows. Are they rigged?
Yep.
Are they, you know, are they set up? Are they real? And I can't speak for Hoarders. I can speak for Hoarding Buried Alive, that it is really real. And the way, and that is why I really liked it, because I love connect. Like when I know this is going to sound a little funny. I loved working with clients that hoard because there's something about being able to connect and being able to get in and really get to the stuff behind the stuff that is very valuable and very meaningful. So when you're presented on the show, yes, you're mic'd, but they basically say, go, do what you would do if you were with your own client. So, and then what you don't see is once they've, you know, tape you, you actually come back for sessions that are not filmed to actually work one-on-one with the client. And then they come back at the end for, you know, to kind of do a follow-up. So the experience was very similar to the way that I would work with my own client. And what I did like about it, which people are like, wow, you really did, was, you know, sometimes these individuals couldn't afford what they were getting, meaning they were getting someone like myself, they were getting therapy, they were getting sessions. So there really is value to it. As long as they were treated with respect and as long as the client was making the decisions, as long as there was empathy involved, and I really thought it was wonderful. I really know, and not everybody agrees with me, but if the parameters were there, then sometimes these clients were way better off than if they had not gotten these types of services. So
Wow. So I'm kind of curious about that relationship between mental clutter and physical clutter, because I haven't really necessarily worked with hoarders per se, but I have run into some people that was fascinating to me because they had a lot of stuff and they didn't like all the physical clutter, but we began to realize most of that represented a memory. And I actually was coaching a guy one time who was moving, and he was talking about how he had to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. And he was trying to get his family, and he wouldn't do it. And I said, well, you have this T-shirt to get rid of. What's the deal? And he started, well, it reminds me of so-and-so. And we began to realize he was a symbol, this guy. And I said, well, why don't you just have a room that's a museum that where you put all this stuff? And it was – the guy started to cry because he never really realized that it represent. It was symbolic. It was an emotional attachment. That it wasn't this T-shirt. It was this thing. And it was interesting because within 10 minutes it was transformational when I said, well, why don't we just set up a museum for these types of things? And it was interesting to me because he couldn't hold it in his memory and remember it, but he wanted the physical thing to honor it.
Yeah, of course.
Again, I'm just interested in your perspective on that.
Well, that seems to be when, you know, if you look, obviously each person comes to the table with very unique issues. But if you were kind of to take like a Gallup poll and say it, I would say even that the sentimentality, the memory, the holding on to things because you feel that if you were to get rid of what was sentimental, you're gonna get rid of the memory. That the object and the memory are there's the super glue again, or super glued. There's a lot of work that gets done to try to extract the actual item from the memory. But interestingly enough, what we do is we ask them, there's other ways, we ask that question, is there another way to hold on to the memory without holding on to the object? So perfect example, I had a client once that had thousands of T-shirts from every walk of life. And what we actually ended up doing was we ended up taking all of those T-shirts, cutting strips, and he sent it out to make a quilt. So he was able to get rid of volumes and volumes and volumes of these T-shirts that had this amazing memory, but he was able to do it and only have one item instead of hundreds. So is there a way to take all of these items and bring it so that you can still have the memory, but maybe not all of them? Now, that's an easier fix, but we do things like you did. We set up shrines. Sometimes we actually bury the item. You know what? We put closure on it, so that they feel that there's closure and then that they can move on. And that's an interesting process, being able to acknowledge it, give it its due, and then say goodbye. And sometimes that's the piece that's missing, is the honoring and the respect to be able to put closure.
And all of this, I had no idea when I started talking to you about this that we would get into this conversation, but it goes us back to the full circle. The topic, I read the blog, is about mental clutter. I don't think anybody pays attention to it. I think it drives an enormous amount. And as you said, there's super glue between the physical and the mental clutter. And I believe now more than I did before is that if you're going to deal with physical clutter, it's this symbiotic thing. You've got to acknowledge and work with the mental clutter because I do think that they're attached. And if if there's anything that this show produced, I hope it produced an awareness among of our listeners that you can't just pay attention to physical clutter. You got to pay attention to mental clutter in order to manage both of them. It's kind of like as an athlete, you can do bicep curls all you want, but your bicep's only going to get so strong until you do the other side. That's the tricep. And when your tricep gets strong enough, your bicep can get bigger. But if not, it's a symbiotic relationship between the two, and you got to exercise both of them.
And how you do that, Jeff, is by asking yourself tough questions. Is this necessary? Is this beneficial? Can I live in my life without this? Would I spend money again on this if I didn't have it? Do I have room in my life to manage it?
And this goes back to that's a self-regulation issue because you have your, as we've learned from Dr. Barkley, there's the automatic brain.
Yep.
And ADHD is not, it's not a deficit attention, it's a self-regulation issue, and it's the ability to pause and think, use the executive functioning brain to override it, and to sit there and say, why am I holding on to this, and actually think about it in order to change, direct an action back on yourself to change the future, which is a little bit of the challenge, which goes back to the, hey, I'm going to shut my eyes, I'm going to close, turn off my cell phone, I'm going to limit the distractions. That's a self-regulation issue for you to manage the mental clutter to manage your life, which is why we had you on the show. And everybody, when I first contacted Leslie, she doubted me like, I don't think we're going to connect on this thing. I'm like, Leslie, trust me, we're not going to have a problem. So you can say I stand corrected, right, Jeff?
You weren't supposed to tell everybody that.
To wrap this thing up, any final comments or thoughts that you want to share?
I just, I have a lot to say on the subject, but I think the biggest thing is for people, and I know this is funny, I work with people on all levels, like we're very hard on ourselves, and I think as the world has gone on and the distractions have grown, like we're really not trained like to really handle it, and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort, and I think you have to really tap in to what works for you, like if it's shutting the lights or closing your eyes or putting, you know, your phone in your bag and shutting it off completely. So, you know, throw a lot up against the wall and see what sticks. And if it takes, it might just take you some time, and don't beat yourself up about it if it takes some time to figure it out.
But the most important thing is you can't do any of that stuff unless you're aware of how mental clutter is taxing your life. And Leslie, I think you did a great job of creating that awareness, because if you're listening to this show, hopefully it speaks to you. We've helped you articulate, illuminate it, and now you can begin to more systematically throw spaghetti against the wall and predict what's going to stick. So, Leslie, you crushed
it.
Thank you.
My pleasure, always.
Everybody, go check out Leslie's website, Order, ORDERO CHAOS.com. With that, Leslie, thank you so much.
Every time. Thank you. I love being on the show.
Oh, we'll have to have you back. Everybody, we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you've illuminated it. Please share this with other people. Check us out next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.